Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you here on the Rediscover Hour. Glad to be with you on this, the first day of fall, the autumnal equinox, September 22nd, or if you're listening on to the rebroadcast on Saturday or Sunday, that you have, you're a couple days into it now. And don't you just love autumn? I think it's my favorite season. My wife gives me some grief about that, but I love the colors. I love sweaters and hot chocolate and fires and things like that. So, you know, just like today and this weekend where we're roasting here in Minnesota, we have an unseasonably warm spell here. But you know what? I think for those listening, since this is a relatively local program, I think we're all pretty much used to that we are settling into whatever the Lord gives us in terms of weather. You know, I was thinking on my way in today that this is an extraordinarily busy time of life, and I'm sure it is for you as well. It is for me. I'm sure it is for you. And I think in those times, as I was praying and conversing with the Lord, you really need to look into those times where you need some good focus time, some good rest time. So I want to encourage myself and you to make sure and take time during these busy seasons of life to pray, certainly, maintain your prayer life, to get some time of quiet and silence, maybe do some spiritual reading, take a breath. If you have an opportunity to go to retreat, that would be a wonderful thing to do. In fact, just over the Labor Day weekend, I was out at my annual retreat out at the de Montreville House, which many of you may know. Guys, if you haven't checked out the de Montreville retreats, please do so. Our retreat master gave us time and time again that we need to do everything calmly and quietly, carefully and prayerfully, and above all, in the presence of God. And I thought that was just such a good thing, and I try to repeat that to myself as I go through the day, sometimes to not so great of an effect, but that's something that I pass on to you, calmly and quietly, carefully and prayerfully, and above all, in the presence of God. So I don't want to take any more time because we have a packed show today. Have you heard of Justice for All? Justice for All is really focused on bringing the pro-life argument from debate to dialogue. It's focused on giving people the tools that they need to respectfully enter into dialogue rather than just angry debate over issues surrounding abortion and the right to life. So we are focusing on that today. And we are going to be joined by Stephen Wagner. Stephen is the executive director of Justice for All. He's going to be on the phone in just a moment. In the studio, we're going to have Ashley Burns, who's heading up a local event of Justice for All at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen on the 30th of this month. And then after that, we are actually going to be talking to Melissa Oden, who is an abortion attempt survivor. So I think that's going to be a profound conversation. All of them are going to be profound conversations. So I am looking forward to that, which is ahead. But as always, let's pause here at the beginning of the show and dedicate the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to be back after this with Steve Wagner, the executive director of Justice for All. It's going to be a great conversation, folks. Stay with us.
Win big this football season with Bridgestone. Now through October 8th, buy 4 eligible Bridgestone tires and you can get a $70 Visa prepaid card by mail. Bridgestone, trusted performance when you need it most.
Get $70 by mail and a Bridgestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of 4 eligible tires. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, expiration applies.
Westside Tire, just west of the Metro on Corcoran, has tires for your car, truck, and SUV today. They'll take care of you.
If you need to get there, Westside will help you get there. I'm Sean Luer of Westside Tire. All of us at Westside Tire can make your daily drives safer and more economical. We'll help you with your basic maintenance, like tires, brakes, and alignments, for better reliability and safety. At Westside Tire, we have tires and brakes to fit your vehicle. Our service people can get you in and out quickly and affordably. Call us at 763-420-2100, just 15 minutes west of the Metro in Corcoran. Westside Tire will take care of you.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Glad to be with you. Patrick Hunley here again. We are going to be talking about justice for all the way through our hour together today, bringing the abortion debate to a place of respectful dialogue. Joining us now from the Washington, D.C. area is Steve Wagner, who's the executive director of Justice for All. He's spent hundreds of hours interacting with abortion and choice advocates on over 50 university campuses in the United States and Canada. But frustrated by the shallow stereotypes and disrespectful activism, he passionately works to build common ground in the seemingly endless abortion debate and make a reasonable and clear case for the pro-life position. And I'm looking forward to hearing much more about that. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Patrick. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the program. So give us an overview of what Justice for All is, how it came about, and what it's all about.
Well, our mission is to train thousands to make abortion unthinkable for millions, one person at a time. And so our passion is going out and finding people who disagree with us. It's an exciting job. and then trying to enter into a dialogue with them where they actually want to rethink their position about abortion. And so we've been doing this sort of work for about 17 years in our present configuration with our outreach program. We actually came to the University of Minnesota in the early 2000s, about 2002, and
nice.
We're really excited to be back this next couple of weeks.
Right, right. And how did you, were you involved from the beginning, Steve? I'm sorry, I don't know that.
That's okay. I was involved from about 2003 as a consultant for Justice for All, and then I really, the program kind of took hold of my heart, and I ended up coming on staff with Justice for All formally in 2009, and then I took the director position in 2014 when the board asked me to do that.
Got it. Okay, so when you're out there, you're looking for people who disagree with you. You said it's exciting. It sounds a little nerve-wracking to me. Do you experience the nerves when you're going out looking for that? Do people who you train experience the nerves, or do you address that as part of your training?
Well, I think there would be something wrong with us if we didn't have some nerves.
Okay, good.
But we set up an outreach event that makes creating conversations easier. Creating a conversation about abortion is never easy.
Right.
In everyday life, it's usually awkward. Even if the abortion's in the news or it's a political season where the topic comes up, people feel reluctant to talk about their views on abortion. For us as pro-life advocates, we feel reluctant. And so our outreach event is meant to make that dynamic easier. We put up signs on the college campus that ask questions like, when are we human? And we show pictures of human development. And then we encourage people to weigh in on a free speech board underneath that sign or near that sign. Or we sometimes put up a poll table, and we'll do that at the University of Minnesota, that asks, should abortion remain legal? And so people will stop and they'll put their name on one side or the other, no or yes. And so we encourage them to share their view, and then we engage them in a conversation where we ask them questions about their view. And instead of trying to refute them instantly, we actually try to get clarification on what they mean and what they believe. And that part of the conversation is the most critical part. And it's actually not very difficult. You just have to ask clarifying questions.
Right, kind of a Socratic approach is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
We want to understand the person. We want to listen to understand them. And we find that with many pro-choice advocates, they haven't thought about this issue very much. They've kind of absorbed the pro-choice position or the feeling that they can't tell other people what to do with the law or when they're faced with an unplanned pregnancy. And so when we enter into a dialogue approach with them, when we listen to them to understand them, we actually find that we can have a friendly conversation, and sometimes this is their first time thinking the issue through. So it's a privilege that we have to walk with them at that time.
Right. So can you tell us a story or two about some of the encounters you've had over all these years of doing this kind of dialogue?
Well, one of my favorite stories is Catherine's story. Catherine came to just a training event like we're going to do in Chanhassen next week on Saturday, September 30th. She came to a training event like that, never planning to do any kind of outreach event. She thought that was a little bit on the extreme. But she thought, well, as a Catholic, she thought, I need to know how to talk about this important part of my faith, defending the gospel of life. And so she came to our training event, and we encouraged her at that event to just come and listen to our staff and volunteers talking out at our outreach event. And so she did that. She came. This was back in, I think, 2005 or 2006. And she came and listened in to conversations at the University of California at Santa Barbara. And she got an earful from different people sharing their views back and forth. And she decided she had to start asking people what they thought. So she entered into those same conversations. So that's a perfect picture of what can happen for people in the Twin Cities on September 30th and then October 2nd and 3rd when we'll be on campus. They can just come out to campus and listen. They don't have to do anything, but they can experience the conversations, and that's a good part of the learning experience.
Right, right.
But for Catherine, she then went on to, she ended up working for us for 7 years, and during that time, she was on campus one day at the Wichita State University, and we had a small little outreach event there with a sign that said, "Where do you draw the line? And when do human rights begin?" Essentially, we had pictures of human development. And a young woman named Amanda stopped. And later that day, with just a little bit of coaching from Catherine, Amanda helped to save the life of the child of one of her friends at work.
Wow.
And your listeners can find that story on our website, jfaweb.org.
jfaweb.org.
That's the story of Amanda and Lucy.
Right.
So we'll also tell that story at our event next week so they can hear the details.
Right, right. And we're going to have next up in our segment, we're going to have Ashley Burns, who's coordinating the event here in Chanhassen. So we'll talk all about that event there as well and get the lowdown there. But
great. And Ashley has a great story herself of working with JFA. So.
Yeah, excellent. So we'll thank you for the preview of coming attractions there. That's
sure.
Good. Yeah. Now, you are also an author. You have authored books around the same topic. I'm seeing Common Ground Without Compromise.
That's right. And that book is actually out of print now, but it's available for free in an ebook version at commongroundbook.com. And the purpose of that book was really to be a letter to pro-choice and pro-life advocates, again, trying to do something to start the conversation. I think that's the hardest part. How do we get the conversation started in a way that is not awkward? And so that's the purpose of my book. It's a book you could give to a friend, or you could give a chapter to a friend, or you could just ask one of the 25 questions in the book to start a conversation with a friend. And then I give you some modeling for how you would proceed in the conversation in a way that's most helpful to the person.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask, too, Steve, as someone on the front line, so to speak, and someone who's had quite a bit of experience across the country about this, I'm just wondering specifically what your read is or what your take is on the overall positions out there across the country today. I know in some ways we hear things like the tide is shifting, the tide is changing.
Yeah.
We see a lot of young people coming out for the pro-life march in January. We see the March for Life, and we see, but at the same time, we also see a lot of fierce, especially in the political realm, fierce arguing for the fundamental women's right of choice. So what's your take on that, Steve?
Well, I think that it's a mixed bag.
Okay.
I have a good feel for the pulse of a certain cross-section of the undergraduate and graduate university population, essentially 18 to 24-year-olds. And we also talk to faculty on university campuses. So I have a pretty good sense of what that population is like. If it's representative of the whole country, I'm not sure. But my sense is that the most common position on abortion is, I don't like abortion, but I can't tell other people what to do. Hmm. Or, I don't like abortion, but I can't argue that it should not be legal. Now, when you ask a follow-up question and say, do you think it should be legal through all 9 months, that brings a lot of common ground into the conversation, because most people say, no, I don't think it should be legal through all 9 months. Is it? And then that gives us the opportunity to clarify the facts.
Yeah.
That in many places in the country, it is legal through all 9 months. Now, there's some diversity on that right now. There are some restrictions that have not been challenged late in pregnancy, so late abortion restrictions. There are some that have stood mainly because they haven't been challenged. But there is nothing in the Supreme Court opinions that would preclude there being abortion through all 9 months. And so we get to talk with people about that. Most people are against that. And so that starts the conversation on common ground. I'm not as optimistic as some people about the state of the country right now in terms of the abortion topic. And mainly that's because it's just so difficult to get the conversation started. I don't think very many people are talking about it. It's hard. It's a very awkward and difficult subject. And when you start to talk to people about it, you realize why. Almost everybody has a story related to some family member or friend who has had a very difficult experience. And so one way that we find common ground with people is we have sympathy for those experiences. It is very difficult to be in an unplanned pregnancy. And if we start to express that sympathy more clearly in the conversation, if we make a point to do it, we can actually make a lot of progress with people. But I think a lot of people are just satisfied with the status quo. I think the church, in large part, is satisfied with the status quo. And I mean the church, broadly speaking, Catholic, Orthodox, evangelical churches, Protestant mainline churches are very reluctant to do much about abortion in, I guess, the everyday practice of the church. And so that we're hoping to help with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And certainly your efforts don't go unnoticed and don't go unappreciated either. So thank you for that. I see here too, Steve, that one of the programs that you do offer is a Learn at Home program as well. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that's about?
Sure. We developed that program for busy moms and professionals who say to me, I don't have time to come to a six-hour seminar. I don't have time to come to a four-hour seminar. I don't have time to come to a two-hour workshop like we're doing in Chanhassen.
Right.
I don't have time to come for a one-hour presentation. And so what we did is we took four activities and we put them in what we call our Learn at Home program, and it's something you can do at home for 15 minutes a day for 4 days. And so it's 1 hour total is what it takes, and that will get you prepared to have your first conversation about abortion with a friend. In fact, we give you a prompt, something you can say to a friend that is not awkward. You can just say, I'm trying to learn to make conversations about abortion better, and I was wondering if you could help me out. And so we give you the specific thing to say to a friend so that you can start that conversation.
Great. That sounds like a deal, 1 hour, 15 minutes a day. Even I might be able to squeak that in. Yeah, no, that's good. But you know what? We do want people to attend the upcoming event in Chanhassen. That's on September 30th at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, which we're going to talk much more about in our next segment here. But can you give us just a little bit of a preview, Steve, about what will go on at that event?
Well, our approach to training people is to give them interactive experiences. So we believe that if you're going to learn to talk about a topic like abortion, you need to actually start talking about it. So this is not a lecture where people will come and listen for 2 hours and then leave. This is an interactive experience. We're going to put people into interactive activities that are very easy. They're not hard to complete. We're not going to put people in front of the group and embarrass them. None of that. It's very easy, and it's all set up for the beginner. And so when people come, we will give them a short segment of lecture, and then we'll give them some interactive experiences. We actually give people scripts so that they can start just learning both sides of an abortion conversation. They start to learn what the pro-choice person generally will say, and they start to learn how they might respond in a way that's respectful and loving, but also take seriously what's happening to unborn children in America.
Right, right.
And so it'll be very interactive, and I think people will leave feeling like, wow, I got a lot out of that. I could actually use this in my next conversation. And people can actually use this in their difficult conversations on any topic. They could use it in their marriage to help their conversations with their spouse go better. They could also use it when they're talking about any contentious topic. We'll teach conversational strategies and approaches that really transfer to any topic.
Yeah. It sounds fascinating. And one of the things that I really do appreciate about it, Steve, is that it does approach these this very important topic, this fundamentally important topic, the right to life, and on a very divisive issue, but maintaining an attitude of respect for the dignity of those we enter into these conversations with, which, you know, in this day of social media and political divisiveness and that sort of thing, I think we tend to spend most of our time just yelling, you know.
That's right. And we encourage people to use social media. We have a social media portal that is curated for creating conversations on abortion in a pro-choice friendly way, a way that's friendly to pro-choice language and that sort of thing. That's called Seven Conversations. It's on Twitter. So we encourage people to get on social media, but then we encourage them to transfer that conversation that started on social media, maybe to a phone call or to a date with coffee or just inviting somebody over or taking a walk. That's going to be a much more productive way to have a conversation, at least in our experience.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Steve, we're winding down here already, but I just wanted to make sure that people knew where to find out more about Justice for All, to avail themselves of some of the resources that you mentioned here today. So that website again, please.
Great. JFA, as in Justice for All, JFAWEB.org. So JFAWEB.org. And one place they can go would be to our blog, which would just be /blog. And they can find the resources that I mentioned here. I'll just post them right after our interview.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Steve Wagner, the Executive Director of Justice for All, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Patrick.
Yeah, God bless you and all that you do. We are going to take our next break here at the Rediscover Hour. We're going to come back and learn more about that event for Justice for All that's coming up at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. So stay with us.
Hello, this is Bill Lemire, Director of Advancement for the Labouré Society. Did you know that thousands of men and women discerning a vocation to priesthood or religious life are being turned away from seminaries and religious communities because they have student loan debt? The communities simply cannot absorb that debt. So at a time when the church desperately needs more priests and religious, student loan debt is preventing them from saying yes to God's call. You might ask, what can faithful Catholics do? You can help us rescue vocations.
Labouré has delivered hundreds of men and women into religious formation by teaching them a Catholic fundraising model. Through Labouré's program, vocation candidates have erased significant student loan debt in months rather than years, rescuing vocations the church would have lost forever. Invest in Labouré's program and leave an eternal legacy to the church of great numbers of Catholic priests and religious. Visit LabouréSociety.org today.
In the morning when I rise, help me to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day. Before my schedule tells me that my day is full, before I'm off and on my way.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley coming to you along with Crystal Crocker, who's sitting in for Susanna Boley, our producer. Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM. And I'm just I'm enwrapped with this subject that we are talking about today, justice for all, creating respectful dialogue for the right to life with pro-abortion, pro-choice advocates. And joining me now in studio to talk more about the Justice for All event that's coming up on September 30th is Ashley Burns. Now, Ashley has spent some time, her first encounter, and we're going to hear all about this, with Justice for All, came as in campus ministry and focus as she was working with them. She's a native Californian, but she has moved here to Minnesota, where we've stirred up some pretty Californian-type weather here for you, Ashley. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. It's good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. And I am excited to talk about the event. But first, I want to know specifically, how did you find out about Justice for All? Steve has already said you have quite a story about how that all came about. So tell us the story.
Sure. So I was a second-year missionary with FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and we were at our training in Madison, Wisconsin, and Justice for All came. I had no idea what to expect, but we went through this all-day workshop, interactive workshop, and we did role-playing, and we practiced how to dialogue about abortion. And then they said, now we are going to send you out into the streets and you can practice all these dialogue techniques.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
And we all got really scared, but just trusted the Holy Spirit to work through us. They gave us a little survey to go out and use and talk to people about family planning.
Hmm.
And it was a lot of people wanted to do the survey for us. And it just allowed us to move the conversation to the point where we asked, at what point in human development does the right to life begin?
Hmm.
And we gave them a little visual of all the different stages of a pregnancy, even unto birth and unto death of a human. Hmm. So, and just let them have a minute to choose. And that silence of their hesitation was deafening.
Hmm.
That people had never taken the time to actually think about when life began. You could see them say, oh, heartbeat, fingerprints, brainwaves, heartbeat. You know, it was like they had just come up with that idea. So it was amazing. And it made me think, so many people are not talking about this. Why don't we talk about this?
Yeah.
And it just put a little fire in my heart to want the pro-life ministry to become just more active and more in my life. So I became more passionate about doing pro-life ministry after that.
Right. And I'm just curious, too. You have the survey with you yet.
Yeah.
The same survey you used, yeah?
When
you
yes, 11 years ago.
Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And I'm just curious. I mean, I had a look through the survey before we came, before the show today, and none of these questions seem overwhelmingly they're inquisitive. They're not leading, as it were.
No.
Right. And so, but did you get any people who really responded negatively to even the survey itself?
No.
Really? Okay.
No. Just a very kind people who, you know, and I don't know what you would expect in Madison, but they were just very kind people. Oh, yes, I believe that, or no, I don't believe that. And so, yeah, it was fascinating.
Well, being a native Wisconsinite myself, I think, we're kind of kind people. Yeah. Very good. So I'm also curious about when you took this and when you took this survey out onto the streets and everything, and you said that you became passionate about that. Now, was this something that you saw as like, this could be something that I give myself over to for a long time to come? Was it kind of a calling, as it were, do you think?
Well, I would say it definitely gave me more confidence and motivation to have harder conversations about everything, all the moral topics, you know, whereas I think before that I would maybe shy away or not be quite ready to have that conversation. So it gave me the tools and some of the resources to start engaging in topics like these.
Mm-hmm.
And And so, and being able to talk to some of my family members who differ on this topic as well. So, and then I was, you know, doing outreach at the college campus at that point in my life. So, in just helping them as well to not be afraid of talking about these things.
Yeah. So it provided the platform to move into this very difficult conversation, these very difficult conversations with many others, regardless of their position and even not knowing what their position is, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's turn the page here to this event, and we want to make sure and highlight that as much as possible. So it's taking place at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, which is your home parish.
That's right.
Yeah, very good. All right. Always good to have local folks here with us on the show, promoting activity in our own parishes. So it's great to hear that. And it's on September 30th, but you went to, you said, a six-hour session. This isn't going to be a six-hour session.
Will be a condensed version. You'll still get a ton of fruit from this shorter event. So it'll be wonderful. And there are opportunities, you know, say you're really fired up and you want more and you're hungry, you come to this event. We have a few opportunities lined up later in the day and the following day and the following week. So if you want to jump in, you can jump right in.
Okay, very good, very good. Wow, and do you have an expected, like how many folks are you hoping come out for this?
We are praying for, you know, our goal was 100 and we're almost there. We have about 15 more spots until we get our goal, but let's fill the place. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are still openings.
There's plenty of room. Yeah. And yeah, we'll have lots of bagels and donuts and coffee for everybody. Ooh, so come on.
All right.
On
now you're speaking my language. All right. No, it's very good. And how do people find out and how do they register to come?
Yes. Very easy. You can go to the website that Steve Wagner mentioned. It's jfaweb.org. And right when you open that, you'll see the calendar, and you can register for the Chanhassen event right there.
Wow. Okay. And is there a cost to this event?
It is completely free. We worked really hard on making that free. My family hosted a barn dance for life to raise the money for this. So we're really excited.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering what kind of words of encouragement you would give to those who say they're hearing this right now and they're thinking, I should do that. But and maybe they're timid, maybe they're shy, maybe they're nervous about what might go on. Steve gave us a little bit of a preview. How would you console and yet still encourage them to sign up?
I would say, what do you have to lose? I mean, you have everything to gain. This is a free event. You will gain some skills. You'll learn some ideas of how to share about abortion. If this is a topic you avoid, it's you can start to learn how to approach it. Mm-hmm. And you might even save a life someday just by a simple thing that you say. Mm-hmm. So, and God uses us as his missionaries to save lives. So that's our responsibility. And all the people in your family who are not pro-life, it is partly your responsibility to share with them.
Right. And just kind of carrying that on again, along the same lines, what words of encouragement do you have if people are in a situation right now? The event hasn't happened yet. It's still coming up, September 30th, St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. But if they're afraid to bring up this topic, this discussion with family members or friends or, you know, somebody who's close to them, but it just seems like, you know what, I'm afraid that this is just going to tear the relationship apart. What would you say?
Don't be afraid. The Lord will use you. If you, and this is the easiest strategy I can give you, and it's worked wonders with a family member of mine. I listen. You listen, you listen, and you listen some more. Listen until you can't hear anymore, you know. Listen to understand, just like what Steve was saying. Try to understand where they're coming from. What's their story? Where did they get these views? Ask clarifying questions, like, tell me more about what you think about this part of the pregnancy or this stage of the baby. Or, you know, and ask really good questions. Steve said he had a list of 25 questions that you can ask to get the conversation started. Study those. I mean, you don't even have to make it up your own. And part of asking good questions is asking open-ended questions, not just yes or no's, and then a lot of follow-ups questions if you get short answers. Mm-hmm. And try to build that common ground. You know, we're on the same page there. You know, I believe that too. And mm-hmm. have sympathy, like, okay, I'm starting to understand where you're coming from. You know, and you can bring in visuals, you can bring in scientific facts or, you know, the laws that we have in effect about abortion. And don't be afraid to come back to the conversation later, too. You know, hey, I would like to do some research on that particular topic. Do you mind if we meet again next week for coffee and keep the conversation going? You know, I want to hear more about what you think. And, you know, bring me articles. And maybe if you don't mind, I can share an article with you. You know, just it can be a very friendly conversation.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all really in pursuit of truth, certainly, of justice, as we talked about, yep. as we continue to talk about, and of building, to use the phrase you've been using and that Steve was using too, building that common ground, building that understanding that, you know what, there are things that tie us together, that we need to rely on those things.
Yeah, it's better to focus more on where you guys share the same ideas mm-hmm. rather than what divides you, because then you'll start to feel that connection and it kind of diffuses the heat and the, oh, I can't believe you believe that. You know, it's mm-hmm. more, it's like, okay, we're on the same page on that part. That's awesome. Like, what else do we agree on?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in this day and age, and as I was talking with Steve, which you heard, but I'm just so aware of how easy it is to vilify or demonize those who have different opinions than you do. And it seems like this is a way to make that impossible, to mm-hmm. Come alongside. You're walking this path together, and we're learning from each other, and we're pursuing after truth and justice.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right. So just in our closing minutes here, Ashley, I'd like to know if you have any ideas specifically about prayer and how prayer enters into this whole equation of not just on the big political realm, although that's important. I don't want to make that unimportant or make that sound unimportant, but also how in these conversations, what's the role of prayer and how have you seen fruit there?
Great question. Well, so if you say there's someone in your family and it just seems like there is a big wall up and it's so hard to break through, you just pray. Pray that God will give you that inspiration to, you know, for that conversation to happen. And you can fast too. And I think prayer and fasting can move mountains. They can break down all the walls. And don't ever think that someone is stuck forever in their convictions, because God can change hearts in an instant if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be praying and fasting hard for them, just like St. Monica would be for her son who had a huge conversion, mm-hmm. St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we never give up and just keep praying. And even when you think that conversation didn't go well, you follow up with prayers. You say the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know, you just give them to God and he will take care of them. And especially to Our Lady, she is powerful. So I think, yeah, call on all the big guns in heaven and let them do some of the work too.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Ashley, thank you so much. Let's hit the event one more time. Justice for All, 2-hour event. What's the timing on the event? I don't know if we covered that.
Oh, yes. Okay, so it's 2 hours, 9 a.m. until 11. However, mm-hmm. bonus, we have a 8 a.m. Mass for Life. So
nice.
We'll be praying for life, just like you're saying, prayer. We're starting with prayer.
Yeah.
And so 8 a.m. Mass for Life, then we'll have refreshments right after Mass, and you can register or, you know, just show up and check in.
Okay. And 2 hours of an event. And it's next Saturday, September 30th,
mm-hmm.
right? And at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. Information can be found online at JFA Web. That's Justice for All. So jfaweb.org.
That's right. And for those in the Minneapolis area or St. Paul area or at any of the colleges around here, we are doing a workshop for the event that's going to be on the campus of U of M.
Right.
And that workshop will be on Sunday. And that's not advertised. So if you want more information, just contact Justice for All about that, too.
Mm, very nice. Excellent. Ashley, thank you so much for being on the program this
morning.
Thank you. Yeah, and stick around, because right now we're going to turn the page over to a phone interview with Melissa Oden. And Melissa is the survivor of a failed saline infusion abortion attempt. And she is joining us now. She is formerly a college outreach speaker with Feminists for Life and is a former patron of Real Choices Australia. You've testified, Melissa, before the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate and the Australian Parliament, and you're on the board of directors for the Vitae Foundation. Your biography just goes on and on and on. Sounds fascinating. But I want to hear from you. So welcome to the program, Melissa.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. So I know I'm intrigued, and of course our listeners are, of course, intrigued. I'm sure you've told the story thousands of times, but can you tell us a little bit about when you first found out that you were a survivor and what your response was?
Yeah, I actually grew up knowing I was adopted. I'm a Midwest girl. I live in Kansas City now, but grew up in Iowa. And, you know, grew up knowing I was loved and knowing I was adopted. What I didn't know was the story behind my adoption. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my parents kept it a secret for a very good reason. They knew that it had the potential to hurt me. But when I was 14, my older sister faced an unplanned pregnancy as a high school student. And, you know, like many women, was considering all of her options.
Right.
And when our parents found out that she was considering everything, including abortion, they finally broke their silence.
Wow.
And they told her the story of my survival. And, you know, I often joke, like any good teenage sister, she didn't keep it a secret from me.
Mm-hmm.
She got to me before our parents did. And so that's ultimately how the truth came, you know, tumbling out. I asked our mother to explain to me what there could be about my life that I didn't understand. And my mom spoke words that I don't think any parent should ever have to say. She said, "Missy, your biological mother had an abortion during her pregnancy with you, and you survived it."
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, it's hard, right? Whether I always tell people, whether you're 14 or 41, I will tell you those words are devastating.
Yeah, I'm speechless. Yeah. So can you give us some sort of an idea of what was the effect? I mean, what both the short-term and the long-term effects of figuring this out, of learning this information?
Yeah, you know, I'm always very clear. You know, I knew in that moment of time, right, God had a very clear purpose for me. But mm-hmm. I also was in a lot of pain. And I think it's hard to embrace our purpose if we're in the midst of incredible pain. And I was in that pain for a long time. So, you know, everything you can think of, right? Anger, resentment, incredible grief, and guilt, right? Guilt for surviving. And so I turned my struggles inward. You know, I didn't want to be this person initially. You know, I wanted to be somebody else. I didn't want to be the girl that survived an abortion. And so, you know, ended up facing an eating disorder and alcohol abuse as a teenager. Nobody knew the extent to which I was suffering because I was that perfect kid on the outside. So nobody could see the inside. And, you know, I'm so thankful that I didn't stay in that place for very long. And truly, Jesus saved me from myself and put me on the path. You know, by the time I was entering into college, I had healed in a pretty big way and knew that I needed to come forward and share this story someday.
Wow. Wow. What about, dare I ask, and forgive me for asking, but what about the whole concept of forgiveness? I mean, I'm sorry to bring it up, but I'm so intrigued. I mean,
obviously, I wouldn't be sorry at all.
Okay.
I think it's an important piece.
It's a very important piece, but it seems very, yeah, I can see where that would be incredibly hard.
Well, and it's a supernatural grace, right?
Yes.
It is. It
yes.
is a supernatural grace to forgive. And, you know, I was not raised in a Catholic church, but I converted. And, you know, what I love is that my parents raised me, even before my conversion, to understand that we're all sinners and we all fall short every single day. And so truly, that was my first real key, even as a teenager, to look upon who, you know, attempted to harm me in my life and go, gosh, you know what? I'm really not that different than they are.
Mm.
And so that was my first real piece. And I always tell people, I think forgiveness is a process, right? It's not a one-time event. We don't just wake up someday and go, hey, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You have to choose to forgive every single day. And as life goes on, things come up and you have to choose to forgive once again and pray for the grace, in order to forgive people. And I would not do what I do in our world today, fighting for life and for a better world for women and men and children, if I didn't first forgive my biological family and the abortionists for what was done to me.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. What a story. What a story of courage, of certainly of the Lord intervening and bringing so many, it sounds like grace after grace after grace, into your life to bring you to this point. Now, I want to turn to, as I mentioned in your intro there, that you have been involved with Feminists for Life. And, you know, just quite frankly, feminism is a word that can conjure a lot of images for a lot of different people. So what does it mean to you? What does feminism mean to you?
I know, right? I could hear it when you were announcing it, like, ooh, Feminists for Life, right? We know that.
I just thought we're going to get some calls on this one.
Exactly. Well, and honestly, that was one of my struggles as a teenager, right? Because I was a feminist, even at this tender age of 14, you know, I very much believed in women's rights. And when I found out the truth about my life, it really sent me into this inner turmoil of, well, what does this mean for me, right? Because the only feminists that I know support abortion, and so what about me? Mm-hmm. And so I really spent years going, what about me? And truly, when I found Feminists for Life in about 2006, that was life-changing for me. That was the first time I had come face-to-face with other women who had the same views about life. And so that gave me incredible courage and strength. And so I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to partner with them. And now I do pro-life feminism work really across our country. We do an annual pro-life women's conference. We've done that 2 years in a row now. We'll head to St. Louis this year because the first feminists were pro-life. Elizabeth Cady Stanton and others, they were pro-life. And I think what we equate feminism to in our world today is that second wave of feminism, right, that ushered in contraception and abortion. Right. And so what we see now is a whole lot of women in the pro-life movement saying, hey, guess what? We are like the original feminists, mm-hmm. and we want to embrace women's rights, including women in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm very glad to hear it. I think that that's I would definitely be along the lines of agreeing with you on that. Want to turn the page again just to ask you specifically, what is the core of your message today, specifically to a young woman who may be in the position, like your sister, considering all the options, including abortion? What is the core of your message?
Yeah, that message would be, you know, first of all, there are always people who are going to help you. And no matter what you're going through, you are not alone. You may feel alone, but I will tell you there are people across your community and around our world who would support you. And whatever you're facing, abortion is not the solution. Mm. It's not the solution. And every choice you make has a consequence. And so it may feel like you're up against, you know, a brick wall at this point in time, but there are people who can help you take it one step at a time and see what other choices exist out there besides abortion.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you for that. Now, I do want to hit on, too, we've been talking a little bit about a Justice for All event that's coming up on September 30th at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. But you are going to be featured at the Women's Source Life is Beautiful Gala on October the 6th. Will you be sharing your story there at that event?
I will be, yeah, and I'll be going more in depth about the procedure that I survived and, you know, the numerous people who intervened and fought for me, and that's really going to be my encouragement for those attending. All of us can make a difference in someone's life. You know, it's not just about me going and testifying before Parliament or Congress or whatever it is, right? All of us can play our part every single day by praying, by volunteering at a pregnancy center, by going out and, you know, praying on the sidewalk with 40 Days for Life. There are so many ways all of us can make a difference. And so if I can do this with my life, I want to encourage and inspire other people to use their lives accordingly.
Wow. Well, Melissa, it's been a privilege to talk to you, and I would encourage people, if they want to attend the gala, to see you in person to hear more about your story. The tickets are still available. Again, just Google Women's Source, and Women's Source, it's the Women's Source Life is Beautiful Gala on October the 6th. God bless you, Melissa. Thank you for sharing your story just in brief with us here, and may the Lord continue to bless your work.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, thank you. We are going to go into our final break now, and we'll come back with all sorts of other information about other things that you can do to deepen your faith and commitment to the Lord right after this. Rediscover.
There are few things that can so quickly and affordably change the look and feel of your home or office as new floor coverings. TPM Flooring helps transform your living spaces by using only the highest quality products available to make your dreams a reality. TPM Flooring is available at 952-746-5157 or tpmflooring.com. Competitive pricing, installation, and attention to detail. They even vacuum their way out the door and have provided this message in support of our Catholic community.
St. Joseph's Preschool in West St. Paul offers a well-rounded, developmentally appropriate early childhood program based on the age of your child. 3 to 5-year-olds are welcome to attend St. Joseph's Preschool regardless of religious affiliation. In addition, they offer extended day for families. St. Joseph's Catholic School supports the emerging kindergarten reading skills of 3 through 5-year-olds through hands-on opportunities so they can discover more about themselves and God's wonderful world. Call 651-485-0409.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We have got a long list of things coming up.
It must
be the start of a new program year or something.
Well, it's just oodles and boodles of stuff. You can be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576. Or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
Young women between the ages of 21 and 29 are invited to come hear the mission of Behold, a mission to help each woman recognize the gift that she is, realize the gift she's been given, and give to the world the gifts that only she can give. This 8-week series will take place from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina starting on Thursday, September 28th. That's this Thursday. This series will include time for fellowship with other young adult Catholic women, Eucharistic adoration, awesome presentations from our Behold speaker team, and time for Q&A and small group discussion. To find out more and to register, visit the events page of rediscover-faith.org.
St. Hubert's in Chanhassen invites you to their parish Saturday, September 30th for a free interactive workshop on taking abortion from debate to dialogue. Learn how to respond to some of the most common and most difficult pro-choice arguments, all within the context of being a good ambassador for Christ. Join in the mission of changing hearts and saving lives through conversations with your friends and neighbors. This workshop is from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Continental breakfast will be served. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org or visit sthubert.org.
And if you're just turned in to hear that announcement, go back and listen to this whole show because that's what we were talking about. Is the feminism preached in mainstream protests and through celebrity voices truly empowering women and helping prepare us for the future? Deborah Savage, professor of philosophy and theology at the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity at the University of St. Thomas, and Amy Wozlawick, president of the Minnesota chapter of the National Organization for Women, will discuss this topic at the upcoming Argument Club for Women. Women are invited to attend on Tuesday, October 3rd at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in New Brighton. Food and drink will begin at 6 p.m. with introductions and debate starting at 6:30. Registration is $10 online at whosefeminism.eventbrite, that's eventbrite.com, or $15 at the door.
Do you have a loved one who has stopped practicing their Catholic faith? Are you unsure of what to say to them? Well, if you answered yes to those questions, the Return 2017 program is for you. The Church of St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park invites you to join in their 7-night program. It'll help you understand why most people leave the church and give practical tips and strategies to help your loved ones return. The series runs 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, October 5th through November 30th, excluding November 16th and 23rd. For more information and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. or stvdp.org. Or you can contact Molly Shore with questions at mollyshore@stvdp.org.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. What are the charisms, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Explore the ancient teaching of the church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul invites you to join them for a two-day called and gifted workshop on Friday, October 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, October 7th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
You know something about that, I think.
I think I know a little bit. I will be there. I hope that you will join me there. Wow, just such a... It's a great list of good things going on. Check out that events page.
And there's more coming up next week.
Next week, we're going to be right back here with more. And wow, from the beginning of life issues to the end of life issues. So next week, we're going to talk about end-of-life care. We'll hear from President and CEO of Gianna Homes, Anne Marie Hansen, who will share with us about the mission of Gianna Homes to provide memory care that respects the dignity of each resident. And we're also going to be joined by Jason Adkins, the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, who will be on air to talk about his works in the advocacy for end-of-life care. That's what's coming up next week, if I can get it out there. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. Great to learn all this stuff. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.